This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. On Monday, Judge David Faber of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia ruled that three major drug distributors, AmerisourceBergen, McKesson, and Cardinal Health, are not responsible for the opioid crisis in the city of Huntington and Cabell County in West Virginia. Those companies shipped 81 million pain pills to Cabell County from 2006 to 2014, according to federal data made public during the trial. The city of Huntington and Cabell County were asking the three companies to pay over $2.5 billion to reduce overdoses and overdose deaths. Last year, according to the CDC, more than 100,000 people died of an overdose. So how significant is this ruling, and what does it mean for cities and municipalities that have been devastated by the opioid epidemic and have also filed lawsuits? Eric Iyer is a West Virginia-based journalist who has covered the opioid epidemic for nearly 10 years. In 2017, Eric Iyer was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting for stories about massive shipments of OxyContin and other painkillers to small towns in Appalachia. Eric Iyer is the author of the Edgar Award-winning book, Death in Mudlick, A Coal Country Fight Against the Drug Companies That Delivered the Opioid Epidemic. Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
It's great to have you. After the verdict, you tweeted, Huntington, West Virginia was once dubbed the opioid capital of America after 26 people overdosed in 4 hours there. Now they get nothing, even though the drug crisis remains. First off, can you just tell us how Huntington became one of the epicenters of the opioid epidemic?
Sure. When they made the switch around 2012, when people were when they started putting a little bit of heat on the proliferation of all the OxyContin and hydrocodone pills, people were switching over to heroin. And especially in the Huntington area, that became kind of a hub of the heroin epidemic that was going on. They were getting shipments from Detroit and from Columbus. And it really was there was an Academy Award-winning movie called Heroin made about it. And you know, I just remember, now I don't live in Huntington, but I saw the coverage. I mean, the BBC, everybody, people from Italy were coming here, and they were going to Huntington because they just had so many overdoses. They weren't as big, it wasn't as big of a problem with the pill problem there, even though, you know, you mentioned the $80 million pills, but the heroin and then the fentanyl, heroin laced with fentanyl, and now you've got methamphetamine, but it really was characterized as kind of a war zone ground. You know, we toss around that everybody wants to be ground zero for the opioid epidemic, but at the rate they were having people overdose, it was very dramatic.
You know, Eric, thinking about just what people in West Virginia are facing, have you heard of the film or seen the film Devil Put the Coal in the Ground?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard that or seen that one.
You might want to see it because we did a show about it maybe about 3 months ago, and it's just a beautiful but tragic film. They interviewed addicts in West Virginia, a nurse, an activist, moms, Vietnam vets, and it was just it told the story in, I think, such an incredible way, especially for those of us, you know, who might live far from West Virginia, don't really know much about the state. And this one young man, Greg Carpenter, talked about his dad working in the mines for 18 years. The company sold out. They didn't want union members. And so they basically hired non-union workers. He went from 20-something an hour to $5 an hour after not being able to find a job, saying that there are now 6 drug houses in the little corridor where he works. And this was the sentiment from the person after person, that this used to be a thriving area with these good paying jobs, and now people can't make anything, and so many people have turned to drugs as a result. I mean, that's a simplistic way of putting it, but that was just one young man's story.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And like you said, I mean, there's countless other similar stories. In the early days of when Purdue Pharma was pushing OxyContin as non-addictive, people were getting injured on the job, especially in coal mining. It's very hard work, and you're right. Compared to the other jobs in Southern West Virginia, a coal miner makes a good amount of money. I mean, $50,000 to $80,000 a year. So yeah, I mean, it was just devastating. We would go cover the mortuaries. They were inundated with bodies. This is back in 2016, 17, 18. The morgues were overrun with bodies that needed autopsy that were suspected opioid overdoses. And everybody, I mean, we all know. I've been very fortunate not to have it in my family, but in at church, in the neighborhood, we all know somebody who's had a loved one who has died of an overdose on an opioid, now predominantly meth and fentanyl. But it's just a widespread problem, and it doesn't appear like it's going away anytime soon. It's kind of good news. I don't even know if I'd call this good news, but the overdose rate in West Virginia only went up by 3%. It set a record high for 2021. So, but it did not go up during the pandemic. It climbed 40-50%. I'm sure other states have different situations, and I'm not as sure exactly like in California what's going on. Although I did look at the latest CDC data, and I guess they're up, overdoses in California up about 17% in 2021. But it's just a real, difficult problem that we've been struggling with, and still have. West Virginia has the highest rate of overdose deaths in the nation still.
Hmm. What do you think is the significance of this ruling? Again, the judge ruled that these three major distributors, Amerisource, Bergen, McKesson, and Cardinal Health, are not responsible for the crisis in Huntington and Cabell County, West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible blow. It's a gut punch. These funds are so needed for harm reduction programs, for just about prevention, treatment, recovery programs. This is just a terrible blow. I mean, the judge's decision basically just mimicked what the drug companies put in their briefs. He didn't buy this. They're all trying to. All these suits around the country are trying to link this. They're trying to find a way to sue these drug companies, the manufacturers, and like you said, the distributors and the pharmacies. And there's this idea of that what these companies did was caused a public nuisance, but they had never been done before related to drugs. It always been sort of like a pollution issue. If a coal company was polluting the groundwater somewhere, then it would be considered a public nuisance and they could be held liable. But Judge Faber's ruling, the West Virginia federal judge, sort of eviscerated any hopes in the future for this public nuisance, at least here, to stand up as a theory to recoup damages. It's been a patchwork of decisions. There have been some wins and some losses all over the country, actually. The one thing that hurts Cabell-Huntington is they got carved out of the $21 billion opioid settlement, nationwide settlement with these distributors. So they could, they'll try to appeal, and then maybe it'll go to, it'll wind up in the Supreme Court. We all know what will happen when it goes there. Mm-hmm. They could wind up with nothing. This one, it's about one of the top three or maybe three or four population-wise cities in West Virginia and the county. But they, as of today, they would get nothing from the distributors.
You tweeted that these drug companies are some of the largest in the United States with massive profits and huge resources. If you look at the Fortune 500, McKesson ranks 7th, Amerisource Bergen is 8th, Cardinal Health is 14th, and each company is more than 50 times larger than the OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma.
Yeah, these are huge companies with huge revenues. McKesson, as you probably know, was once headquartered in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Cardinal Health is in Columbus, Ohio, and AmerisourceBergen is in Pennsylvania. They have tremendous resources. They hire, you know, the best of the best, the cream of the crop from the of lawyers from the white shoes type law firms. You know, it was interesting as I was covering this issue over 10 years. You know, I started covering, I never had heard of McKesson. I never had heard of Cardinal Health. And then, you know, when you start looking, you know, you start seeing their trucks, McKesson, you know, what are they doing driving around Southern West Virginia, you know, delivering pills. And, you know, at one time, the CEO, he's retired now, but at one time, the CEO who lived in the Bay Area was the highest paid CEO, McKesson CEO was the highest paid CEO in the nation. And they've been held to a little bit of account. That there was a really bipartisan congressional investigation back in 2018. And, you know, they were called before Congress. To his credit, the Cardinal Health CEO actually admitted that they had made mistakes, but he wouldn't go so far as saying they caused or fueled the opioid epidemic, but they said they did make mistakes in terms of flooding certain pharmacies in two different counties in West Virginia, not the county, not Cabell County, but two other counties that they, you know, had been asleep at the switch. But none of these higher up CEOs, you know, everybody's, you know, wants to know, well, what happens to the people that made these decisions? None of the higher up CEOs have faced any kind of criminal charges. There was one company called Miami Lucan, which was not part of the Big Three, but it was a very large distributor where a couple of their officials were indicted. And there was a McKesson, the warehouse manager for the West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky region, was indicted and convicted, and he got a 6-month home confinement sentence. But he wasn't very high up the chain. It was like a big warehouse, because they shipped these drugs from the factories to warehouses and then warehouses to pharmacies. But it wasn't a significant amount. And I don't expect that any of the CEOs of the Big Three will ever face any kind of criminal charges.
You mentioned the CEO of McKesson. I just looked this up. John Hammergren.
Yes,
brought home
that's him.
$145 million in 2020.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We only have a couple, actually just about 1 minute, Eric. We'd actually love to have you back to talk about your book.
I'd be happy to come back.
We would love that. Where is this going from here now that this major ruling came down? We have about a minute left.
Sure. It's still... you know, they're trying to work out a settlement for the other 54 counties in West Virginia. There's settlements being by the day. Different places are settling. This is with the distributors. There's also been some litigation regarding the manufacturers, two of which, Mallinckrodt and Purdue Pharma, have filed for bankruptcy. But there's ways to get settlement monies from that. And then finally, the pharmacies are another target of lawsuits, and I'm not sure there's a site that tracks all these. It's called Opioid Settlement Tracker, but those are the ones that have kind of been lagged behind. But there's opportunities to, target these pharmacies that dispensed, you know, the millions upon millions of opioids, well, billions if you do it across the country.
Mm. Well, Eric, huge thanks for your reporting. And like I said, we'd love to have you back to talk about your book.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. In 2017, Eric Iyer was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting for stories about massive shipments of OxyContin and other painkillers to small towns in Appalachia. Eric Iyer is author of the Edgar Award-winning book, Death in Mudlick, a coal country fight against the drug companies that delivered the opioid epidemic. And you can read more of Eric's stories and learn more about his work at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show, Kevin Vance for engineering our show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.